Welcome to this Thursday, November the 16th, day 320. In this amazing journey through the Bible. Hello to everyone out there. My name's Hunter, and we are doing what we do every day. We're taking some time in God's Word. We're letting God's Word take some time on us. I know how we need that, no doubt about that. Did I mention that this is the Daily Radio Bible? It's a simple thing. We simply read through the scriptures, and over the course of a year, we will read through the Old Testament once and the New Testament twice, and more than that, we will have an encounter with the living Word through His Word given to us in the scriptures. And today is a bit unique in that we will spend the entire time in the New Testament. Not many days in our year where that happens. So today is 2 Corinthians chapters 3 through 6. What do you say we jump right in? 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We're reading through the New Living Translation. Are we beginning to praise ourselves again? Are we like others who need to bring you letters of recommendation or who ask you to write such letters on their behalf? Surely not. The only letter of recommendation we need is you yourselves, your lives, or a letter written in our hearts. Everyone can read it and recognize our good work among you. Clearly, you are a letter from Christ showing the result of our ministry among you. This letter is written not with pen and ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. It is carved not on tablets of stone, but on human hearts. We are confident of all this because of our great trust in God through Christ. It is not that we think we are qualified to do anything on our own. Our qualification comes from God. He has enabled us to be ministers of His new covenant. This is a covenant not of written laws, but of the Spirit. The old written covenant ends in death, but under the new covenant, the Spirit gives life. The old way with laws etched in stone led to death, though it began with such glory that the people of Israel could not bear to look on Moses' face. For his face shone with the glory of God, even though the brightness is already fading away. Shouldn't we expect far greater glory under the new way, now that the Holy Spirit is giving life? If the old way, which brings condemnation, was glorious, how much more glorious is the new way, which makes us right with God? In fact, that first glory was not glorious at all compared with the overwhelming glory of the new way. So if the old way, which has been replaced, was glorious, how much more glorious is the new, which remains forever? Since this new way gives us such confidence, we can be very bold. We are not like Moses, who put a veil over his face so the people of Israel would not see the glory, even though it was destined to fade away. But the people's minds were hardened, and to this day, whenever the old covenant is being read, the same veil covers their minds so that they cannot understand the truth. And this veil can be removed only by believing in Christ. Yes, even today when they read Moses' writings, their hearts are covered with that veil, and they do not understand. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, since God in His mercy has given us this new way, we never give up. We reject all shameful deeds and underhanded methods. We don't try to trick anyone or distort the word of God. We tell the truth before God, and all who are honest know this. If the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only from people who are perishing. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. You see, we don't go around preaching about ourselves. We preach that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we ourselves are your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let there be light in darkness," has made this light shine in our hearts so that we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. Now we have this light shining in our hearts, But we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. Yes, we live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus, so that the life of Jesus will be evident in our dying bodies. So we live in the face of death, but this has resulted in eternal life for you. But we continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith the psalmist had when he said, "I believed in God, so I spoke." So now that God, who raised the Lord Jesus, will also raise us with Jesus and present us to himself together with you. All of this is for your benefit. And as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving, and God will receive more and more glory. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day, for our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now, rather we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, that is, when we die and leave this earthly body, we will have a house in heaven, an eternal home made for us by God himself and not by human hands. We grow weary in our present bodies, and we long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing, for we will put on heavenly bodies. We will not be spirits without bodies. While we live in these earthly bodies, we groan and sigh, but it's not that we want to die and get rid of these bodies that clothe us. Rather, we want to put on our new bodies so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by life. God himself has prepared us for this, and as a guarantee, he has given us his Holy Spirit. So we are always confident, even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, we are not at home with the Lord. For we live by believing and not by seeing. Yes, we are fully confident, and we would rather be away from these earthly bodies, for then we would be at home with the Lord. So whether we are here in this body or away from this body, our goal is to please him. For we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we have done in this earthly body. Because we understand our fearful responsibility to the Lord, we work hard to persuade others. God knows we are sincere, and I hope that you know this too. Are we commending ourselves to you again? No, we are giving you a reason to be proud of us, so you can answer those who brag about having a spectacular ministry rather than having a sincere heart. If it seems we are crazy, it is to bring glory to God, and if we are in our right minds, it is for your benefit. Either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone, so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating ourselves from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun, and all this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ, and God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them, and he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, "Come back to God," for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. As God's partners, we beg you not to accept this marvelous gift of God's kindness and then ignore it. For God says, "At just the right time I heard you. On the day of salvation I helped you. Indeed, The right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. We live in such a way that no one will stumble because of us, and no one will find fault with our ministry. In everything we do, we show that we are true ministers of God. We patiently endure troubles and hardship and calamity of every kind. We have been beaten, put in prison, faced angry mobs, worked to exhaustion, endured sleepless nights, and gone without food. We prove ourselves by our purity, our understanding, our patience, our kindness, by the Holy Spirit within us, and by our sincere love. We faithfully preach the truth. God's power is working in us. We use the weapons of righteousness in the right hand for attack and the left hand for defense. We serve God whether people honor us or despise us, whether they slander us or praise us. We are honest, but they call us imposters. We are ignored, even though we are well known. We live close to death, but we are still alive. We have been beaten, but we have not been killed. Our hearts ache, but we always have joy. We are poor, but we give spiritual riches to others. We own nothing, and yet we have everything. Oh, dear Corinthian friends, we have spoken honestly with you, and our hearts are open to you. There is no lack of love on our part, but you have withheld your love from us. I'm asking you to respond as if you were my own children. Open your hearts to us. Don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? And what union can there be between God's temple and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. And God said, I will live in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among unbelievers and separate yourselves from them, says the Lord. Don't touch their filthy things, and I will welcome you, and I will be your father, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Almighty. And now may the Almighty, the one who makes us his sons and daughters, give his blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. I grew up on the Oregon coast, so I've always been kind of fascinated, really taken by certain kinds of animals like salmon and migrating birds. These creatures that somehow instinctively, mysteriously know that they need to make their way back home. They need to come back to where things began. Something just triggers within them. We don't really know why or how it happens, but they know. It's like they're hearing, they're responding to something, some kind of voice almost that says, it's time to come back, it's time to come home. And they do, and they make these long and epic and perilous journeys back home. Paul in this passage today tells us that God is calling us back. We hear that phrase a number of times in this reading. That we've been essentially given a ministry of telling people to come back, to come home. You were built with a homing device like these migrating birds or salmon. There's a homing device that somehow is mysteriously built into the heart of a man and a woman. Somewhere in the marshes of Venezuela, there's a bird, and that bird is hearing the stirring, and it's responding, and it's making its journey all the way up to the north slope of Alaska in the Arctic Circle. It's going home, and there new life will begin. He's responding to the voice to come back, to come home. And somewhere off the coast of Asia, in the Pacific Ocean, even as we speak, there's a school of salmon. And it's like they too are hearing and responding to that mysterious voice. And they will respond, and they will head back, and they will traverse the Pacific Ocean. And they'll make their way up hundreds of miles of river into a small stream somewhere that nobody even knows about. They're going to go home. Paul says that God has placed this homing device in human beings, in you and me. And somehow through our own pride and through a malicious attack, a violent attack by an enemy to our souls. This signal has become scrambled, and we don't know how to get home again. And there's an ache within every human being for home. And we don't know if it's real, and we don't know which direction to go, even if it were real. Paul says that we've been given a ministry, and it's to tell people that the ache is real, that the home is real, and that God, in His great mercy, has come to us because the ache is real, the separation is real, the desire is real, the brokenness is real, and He's come to mend us, to mend the ache. He's come to give us direction back to where we belong. You know, something strange happens to salmon when they begin to make this journey. They begin to change. As they leave the salt water, the ocean waters, and enter into the fresh waters of rivers and streams, their bodies begin to change. They are being transformed as they make their way on this journey back home. The same thing happens to us when we embark on this journey back to God, in the power of God. We too are changed. The prayer of my heart today, my friend, is that I will remember well the call to come back, and that I will invite all the people I can on my journey home to come back with me. Paul says this, that all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to Himself through Christ and has given us this task of reconciling people to Him. So we are Christ's ambassadors, and God is making His appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, "Come back home." The prayer of my heart is that I will live in the light of home. That's the prayer that I have for my family too, for my wife, my daughters, and my son, and that is my prayer for you. May it be so. DailyRadioBible.com, that's home base. That's where we hang our hat out here in the interwebs, and it is always such a blessing to hear from you. So how about taking a moment and letting a brother know? Hey, would you let somebody know about this podcast? Would you share with the people in your life? You can share the app. It's free. We've made it free. Well, actually, you've made it free. Your partnership has enabled us to offer this ministry free of charge. So share the free gift. And if you would like to partner with us at the Daily Radio Bible, that is so appreciated and so necessary. This ministry doesn't happen without you, without partners coming alongside and saying, "I want to be a part of it. I believe in it. I see how God's using it in my own life, and I believe that He's going to use it in the lives of others." Well, if that's you, you can do that by going to the webpage, dailyradiobible.com, and clicking on the partner link. You can also give right from the app itself just by clicking on the donate link there. Well, hey, my friends, we've done it again. We have spent another day in the Bible, and I plan on being back here again tomorrow to do the same. Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, I fully intend to be here. Until that time, let's go forward in God's joy. Let's let His joy be our strength. And let's remember this, that you are loved. No doubt about it. All right, you guys take care. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.